Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my special guest, Alfredo Zapata, who is the diocesan liaison for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. How are you?
Fine, thank you very much.
Well, I'm excited that you're here, and first of all, I want to say publicly that I truly enjoy working with you, and I truly appreciate your ministry, so I hope we have many more years to come of us working in ministry together. Now, before we get started, can you go ahead and share with the audience a little bit about yourself, Alfredo?
Okay. I'm Alfredo Zapata, and I'm married. I have two sons, ages 32 and 36. Been married for 40 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And my job that I had before was state and county auditor for 34 years, now retired. Retired in 2006.
How did you get involved with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal? I'm sure there's a story behind that.
Yes, I had incurred an injury on my shoulder. It was real bad and everything. So what I did, I went to a prayer group. In the prayer group, I got healed from that. I was avoided surgery and all that, and to this day, I've been completely healed from that real serious injury.
And what did you start doing after that? Did you start attending Mass more frequently, or did you start praying at home?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I got touched by the Holy Spirit, and there's many ways of describing that. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, I started attending daily Mass, as a matter of fact, and I enjoyed it very much. And I continued with attending a prayer group every week, and enjoyed that very much, and also at the same time, started reading the Bible or scriptures. I had never read it that much, very little, but this time I had an intense interest in reading the scriptures and reading also books about the faith and all that that taught me things that I didn't know anything about in the past. Yeah, before that I was going to Mass, Holy Mass, perhaps only one time on Sunday, something like that. I belong to Most Precious Blood Church. I've been there since 1978.
Wow. So then this was a conversion experience for you in terms of receiving prayers and having the injury healed. And was it just a complete turnaround where you wanted to get so immersed in the faith?
Yes, it was a big turnaround, kind of a big conversion. I started being involved in prayer very much on a daily basis and all that. And I even got involved in the CCR, I guess, kind of the ministry or the movement of healing prayer and all that, where I discovered that that people would ask me for prayer and all that, and I enjoyed that very much because they people receive something kind of special, and they would tell me that. We normally, somebody asks you, are you a healer or do you heal and all that? And my answer to that would be no. The only way we know about that is somebody tells us that they received something from the Holy Spirit and the Lord. The Lord is the one that does all the healing through the majesty and the power of the Holy Spirit.
So Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
Alfredo, I'm going to read some of the things here, just the basic mission and goals of the Charismatic Renewal, things that you can find online. But our mission is to promote a charismatic spirituality in Catholics that would enable us to live fully in the Holy Spirit and to collaborate in the integral mission of the Church. Thus, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal is a part of the people of God, which expresses its life of communion and evangelizing service of different levels under diverse forms. And then to speak of some of the goals, it's to strengthen prayer groups. I know that you have many prayer groups in the diocese. To train and evangelize through healing ministries, and in a moment I want to talk about healing masses, to teach prayer groups how to evangelize, to become open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to develop spiritual gifts in people. Tell me, what are some of the things that you would say you do focus on right now as a community, as the CCR?
We try to do various activities that we can become involved in where we involve the people in our prayer groups. We have 16 prayer groups, and we meet with them and help them as much as we can in different ways. Some of the ways that we do this is by having events, like we're planning a big conference next year. And we have also, on a more current basis, we have a First Friday Holy Mass, and it's a Holy Mass and Praise and Worship and Healing Service. And it's at 1200 Lantana, Our Lady of Corpus Christi. And it's at 7 p.m. every first Friday of the month. And people go there to receive. They have problems or they have questions or they just want to come in and praise the Lord. We have live praise and worship, which is very beautiful. And it's very, very important, I think, to start any event so that people will receive from the Lord whatever they're looking for and ask. And they may receive right away or maybe later what they need from the Lord in many ways. Through, of course, everything is done through prayer. And we do have a healing service part of the First Friday Mass, like I said, and that's where they come forth. We have a priest there that takes does all that for us.
So I agree with you that prayer is very vital, and it's great that you support the prayer groups that are in the parishes. They do need support from the diocesan level and from the Charismatic Renewal. And I've had the pleasure of actually attending one of your conferences, and it was at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church. There was about 800, 900 people. One of the things that I really appreciated, in addition to all of the prayer and the presenters, was the hospitality. Every time I went in and out of those doors, there was someone opening the door for me. And that really meant a lot. At one point, I thought I was going to drive men nuts because I was going in and out and in and out. But they smiled. They opened the door. They didn't say a word. And that gentle, just that gentle attitude of I'm here to serve you went a long way with me. I mean, it happened, one or two years ago, and I still remember it, and it meant a lot to me. But let's go ahead and talk about now Healing Mass. I remember many years ago, back when I was in college, about 10 years ago, I started attending Healing Masses in San Antonio, and at first, I wasn't too comfortable with them, and I'll tell you why. It's because I didn't know much about them. And now I appreciate them. So tell me what a healing mass is.
A healing mass basically is we adhere to the rules and regulations and the direction that we follow on a regular mass. That does not change one bit. What we do ourselves in our healing mass, the particular one we have a healing prayer before the mass starts. And our priest prays for people, and then we have also some people there that are gifted. And they also can pray for people at the same time. And sometimes the people may receive something very special, what they came for, it's an illness, or maybe something that's bothered them internally, an inner problem that they may have, and so forth. But what we do there basically is the priest takes care of most of the praying and laying on of hands on people and so forth. And at the end, we have a report, so to speak, of if anything that they felt or if they were real sick or injured or whatever. And if they, some of them may get healed right there and there. And some may come back and report to us. We allow them that to do that and witness if they got receive something special from the Lord. And it can be various things, not only healing of their minds or their hearts or their souls and different things like, or physical healing as well.
And I'll say this is where people get a little stuck because we're skeptics and it's hard for us to believe. But the interesting thing is that we're actually seeing. So now for some skeptics, it should be easier. But I do remember when I witnessed people that were in walkers or people that were in wheelchairs or some that were in crutches for whatever physical injuries they might have had. And they went to the healing mass, and at the end of the mass, all of the wheelchairs and crutches were on the stage, and the people were healed. What does Scripture have to say about that? It's Jesus that heals.
Yes. Jesus was and still is a healer, and of course in the Old Testament and more so in the New Testament, there's signs and wonders that occurred. And Jesus performed those signs and wonders, but usually he forgave sins, and then he healed them. And he healed many, many, many people.
That was the main part of his ministry, healing.
Absolutely. And he healed in 1 second or 2 seconds. He is a very awesome a healer and redeemer and savior and all that. And that ministry, what he did there, he said in the scriptures that there would be more of that after he left us and sent us a paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to come and guide us and everything. There would be much more signs and wonders like that that would be coming. And to this day, these are occurring in different places and in different ways and all that. But we have to be careful in discerning those things and so forth. But it's a very wonderful feeling and a wonderful witness when we see somebody that received something very special. And there are gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit and charisms of the Holy Spirit and fruits of the Holy Spirit. They play a major role in all of this.
Stay with us. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear about the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
This is Labors of Love.
The Federation of Guadalupanas invites everyone to celebrate the 481st anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe on Wednesday, December 12th. A procession will begin at 5:30 p.m. from Sacred Heart Church, Quarter of La Pan in Alameda, to Corpus Christi Cathedral. The Knights of Columbus will carry a large image of Our Lady of Guadalupe up to the cathedral altar. There will be a presentation of flowers prior to Mass. Bishop Michael Mulvey will preside at Mass beginning at approximately 6:15. A reception will follow in St. Joseph's Hall, featuring songs and folkloric dances. For more information, call Dora Hidalgo at 510-1411.
Thanks for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Alfredo Zapata, who is the diocesan liaison for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal here in the diocese. And we've had a great chat so far. We've been talking about the healing masses that I used to experience and the wonderful things that come from prayer and the Holy Spirit. Now, before we move on to the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, I do want to know a little bit about the history of the CCR. Is there a connection with the Vatican? People like to know that before they get involved with anything like this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is, and it goes back quite a ways. Actually, in 1967, at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, there occurred an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was very spontaneous, but very huge in nature, and it affected a lot of people where they received, they rested in the Holy Spirit, and they received gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they spread that out throughout the United States and so forth. And it was a kind of an initiation of a big movement. But the Vatican itself has always supported the Catholic Charismatic Renewal on an international basis, namely three popes, Paul VI, and also, of course, John Paul II, specifically and very strongly so. And, of course, our current Pope Benedict XVI administers to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in many ways and strengthens it with his support and good words he has for the charismatic renewal.
So there is support from the Vatican, and there is support from bishops. There's support from the Pope himself. Right. With the Catholic Charismatic Renewal.
Yes. And also we have a special place in the United States. It's called the Caris Center, and it's in Washington, D.C. And what it does, it supports the Charismatic Renewal in the United States, basically. And they have a lot of guidance and things they offer in books and so forth and advice and a lot of annual and biannual and conferences, big conferences for the leadership of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal.
And speaking of books, Alfredo, you have a book there next to you, and it's called Guidelines on Prayers for Healing from the International Catholic Charismatic Renewal Services, which you were just speaking about. So if you would like more information about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, there's plenty out there for us to read. And you can Google CCR, you can Google Holy Spirit to find out more about this. And we'll give you more information at the closing of our program. So thank you for that history and those connections. Let's go ahead and talk about the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the pleasure of talking about that.
Okay.
What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
Okay, there's gifts, charisms, and fruits, and they can be confusing. If I was to look them up or discuss them maybe last month or whatever, I might be a little bit confused myself. So anyway, that's why I would like to say a little bit on them. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they appear in the scriptures, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, everything that we're looking at here basically will appear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. St. Paul is the author in the New Testament. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, we mentioned wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, piety and fortitude, the awe of God's presence, and fear of God. And there's seven. And they're called, that's why we say the Holy Spirit is sevenfold in his gifts. And they're very awesome gifts.
And I'd like to say that as a Catholic, and you would agree, Alfredo, I'm sure, that we're not born with all of this. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism, and it's nurtured through the sacraments, but it's strengthened in confirmation. But we're called as Catholics to pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be strengthened. So for example, if I want to understand people, situations, decisions that need to be made, I'm not going to go off of my own authority. I'm going to pray to the Holy Spirit to assist me. If I want the gift of wisdom, I'm going to pray to the Holy Spirit to offer me that gift. So I'd like to stress that we might feel that we don't have these gifts, and on the contrary, we do. But what we can't forget is to pray.
Amen.
All right, what's next?
Okay, then we have the charisms of the Holy Spirit. What this involves, according to 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 12, verses 8 through 12, and verses 28 to 31. That's where they're enumerated in detail and exact description. What they involve, these charisms of the Holy Spirit are not given to everybody. They are given to a lot of people, though, and the Holy Spirit chooses them. And they're not restricted to the clergy or anything like that. The laity can receive them, and a plain citizen, a plain person that has faith can receive them. And they are given in different forms so that not one every person has all the gifts or the same gifts as other people. And they're all to edify the church for the benefit of the church. They're not given to us for ourselves, for use for ourselves, but to be given away, used to for our brothers and sisters. Evangelization is, of course, the word always we use for that. That's what we do. And I'll name them. First, and they're named by St. Paul in this order, in the order of the importance that he placed on them. He names them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, apostles, and then prophets, and then teachers, and then mighty deeds, and the gifts of healing, assistance, administration, variety of tongues. And variety of tongues is kind of very special and wonderful. You can pray in tongues, you can interpret tongues, which is awesome, and you can sing in tongues. And I've seen all of this. Singing in tongues is marvelous. Whoever does that. And there's discernment and words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And I pretty much have seen, I believe, quite a few of these that we described here.
Now, we don't have too much time, but I would like to say that sometimes people are a little confused with when we say people rest in the Spirit or they see them on the floor. I've seen people fall on the floor. No one pushes them. They're resting in the Spirit, and they're in this wonderful state. And it comes with prayer. But speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, this is scripturally based. And if you do want more information, I would highly suggest that you go to the Vatican website or get some documents or books that are approved by the U.S. bishops to learn more about this. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and move on to the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
When somebody's resting in the Holy Spirit, more than often than not, many times, they're receiving some kind of healing. But the Holy Spirit is the one that takes care of all of that. Fruits of the Holy Spirit now, that comes from Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 to 23. And there are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Now, I'll repeat it again from Galatians chapter 5. I'm sure that there are quite a lot of people in the audience that would love these fruits of the Holy Spirit. I, for one, would love more patience. So what more is a Catholic to do than pray for patience? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, listeners, I'm sure there are some of you that are in need of the strengthening of these fruits, and it's right there in Galatians. And all we need to do is pray. So, Alfredo, thanks for sharing with us the gifts, the charisms, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If someone wanted to learn more, or if someone were wanting to join, but they just needed a little extra encouragement, what would you tell them?
They can contact us, and we'd be glad to help. We've had some books that have come up recently that are approved by the Vatican or have been written by priests and so forth that are very, very useful and helpful in learning about prayer, healing prayer and all that, and also the charismatic renewal. And if they call us, we can mention that and how they can obtain them and so forth. But we also have a phone number and a website that we can be contacted for that. Our phone number, CCR phone number that we have right now, it's 361-850-3281. And, of course, the fast way sometimes that we try everything now fast and very beneficial is through a website. And we do have a website with the Diocese of Corpus Christi. And the web is www.dioceccc.org/ccr. And if you go to that, you have two direct links immediately with the CCR and our prayer groups. And the availability of our prayer groups in the different parishes and all the information that you would need will be there. It'll appear there.
Alfredo, thank you so much for joining us. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
All of us at one time or another will experience the absence of a friend or a loved one who was invited to share some occasion with us. Sometimes, because of the closeness of the relationship, we expect them to be there even without an invitation. It's understood. It might be a birthday celebration or a graduation, perhaps a wedding or a funeral. If their absence was unexpected, we're likely to find ourselves questioning the relationship. We might wonder if we have offended them, and if we exonerate ourselves from guilt, we begin to question the sincerity of the relationship. Many of our decisions and judgments are made without the benefit of knowing the whole story. Hurt and broken relationships can result from these poor judgments. Sometimes that hurt remains until death. How unfortunate that we allow these things to come between us, these occasions in which we allow our pride to blind us to the gift of family and friendship. We would do well to consider how Jesus handled similar situations. We have all heard the parable about the wedding feast to which the invited guests did not attend, and how the host sent his servants out into the streets to invite everyone they encountered to come to the feast. Many came, including the one who was not properly dressed, who was not properly disposed to celebrate with the others. Jesus tells us that this one was bound hand and foot and thrown out into the darkness. Another parable to consider is the one about the 10 virgins who went out to meet the bridegroom. They all knew it would be late before the bridegroom came. They took their lamps to light the darkness as they waited, but only half of them took extra oil for their lamps. The others failed to prepare properly for the long wait. At the last minute, they had to go buy more oil for their lamps, and upon returning, found themselves locked out of the feast. They were denied entrance. In fact, they were not even recognized as being known to those inside. These parables tell us that we need to be prepared so that when we are invited into friendship, we can treasure and embrace it before the offer is withdrawn. However, there are other occasions in which we also should consider Jesus' response. What about the sleeping disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? Were they cast out of friendship with the Lord? Or how about at the crucifixion? How many of Jesus' friends abandoned him in his moment of need? And yet we know he appeared to them after his resurrection, despite their abandonment of him. There are a couple of things we should learn from this. The first is that human relationships are forged between sinful people, people given to pride and selfishness, and therefore our relationships will always be weakened by our own brokenness. Secondly, we should understand that Jesus' response to the disciples who abandoned him in their own fear and brokenness was one of undying loyalty and forgiveness. By appearing to them after his resurrection and offering them his peace, he showed us that God never forgoes his friendship with us, even when we break and run or fail to answer his invitation. He remains steadfast, waiting for us to respond to his love and ask for forgiveness. May we encounter true friendship with Jesus in our sacred moments as we reflect upon these thoughts, and may we choose and keep our friendships wisely, embracing one another with charity as we seek to enter his feast. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Alfredo Zapata, Diocesan Liaison for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. If you would like more information, please call him at 361-850-3281 or visit us at diocesecc.org/ccr. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.